Like to go through the kitchen. The issues, kashering. It's a lot of the stuff. I said four years ago. I don't know what I said last year, right? If I said this year or not. I'm assuming that I did. I just don't remember doing it. But the sinks haven't changed that much in the last 2 years that I know of. Okay, start with the sink. Because we're starting with sinks. No reason to start with sinks, but we'll start with sinks. That's the first page. So there's a difference. You want to know if your sink is a sink, which is something which you can kosher, or something which you cannot kosher. And then we're going to treat this obviously differently. So if it's a stainless steel sink, it's a metal sink, which is not enamel coated, or it's a granite sink also. Either those are kosherable, unless it's been sealed. Granite, which has been sealed, or marble, which has been sealed, the sealant itself is a problem. It's a plastic type of a sealant, so that makes things different. But assuming it's a stainless steel sink, or it's a stone sink, so you can kosher that. You're going to kosher it, so you want to wait 24 hours without using any hot water. The best answer for that, you might remind yourself not to use any hot water, is to turn off the hot water intake valve. That's why you won't by mistake turn on the hot water. Okay. Then you want to clean the sink well. The sink should be clean. Then you're going to kosher. Now, the areas we have to kosher are, you want to remove the aerator. The aerator really, at the end of the faucet, really is an area that I think should be changed. To clean it for Pesach is very difficult. And sometimes things will splash there, etc. So it's a good idea to get a new aerator. So I would take that off before you're doing any other part of the process. You take that off. The strainer you take out of the drain. It's also something which we recommend to get a new one for Pesach, get a separate strainer for Pesach. Starting from the bottom up. So first thing you want to do is you want to that down the drain. You want to make sure that there's no issues of anything down the drain. So now that's not really an issue per se in the process of koshering. It's more an issue if during Pesach there would be any backup and had there been any chomets down there which is still considered edible. It would be a problem because there's a connection between this backup with the chomets down there and your something which is sitting in your sink. So in order to prevent that, you want to put some type of a cleaner down there which would render any chomets which is down there inedible. So that takes care of down the drain. Koshering the sink, it would be recommended to do the bottom and then the sides from the bottom up. I think 1 year I said differently. I'd like to stress that. I think went through it again. I think it makes sense to do the bottom and then the bottom of the sink and then do the sides and then do the lip. Then you can do the faucet. In order to kasher, you need to use. We're going to do the process of iri kli rishon. So you put a kettle in the fire and it gets to the point where it's boiling. You're going to need more than one kettle to be able to get a whole sink done. So you have two recommendations. You can put a few kettles up. Now the kettles do not have to be kasher the Pesach. The kettles have to be clean and not used for 24 hours. They can be even a chum and stick a kettle or a pot. As long as it's clean, it hasn't been used for 24 hours. There is a minig. If you're using a chomes to kapat, there is a minig to kasher the pot before you use it. Even though meeker, then it's okay. There is a minig which is brought down to kasher the pot before you use it to kasher for Pesach. So if it's a kettle, it's a little bit more complicated to kasher a kettle. But the way you kasher it is by getting a larger pot and immersing it into the pot. If you have, you want to use a large pot, so the way you kosher it is by filling it up with water, get it to the part where it's boiling, and then you want it to overflow, that it should the rim of the pot should also be kosher. So what you do that is the example suggested in the halacha is you take a stone from outside, put it on one of the burners, get it hot, use a tongs, something safe to pick it up, and then drop it into the pot. Because it's hot, it will cause the water to continue to boil. It will also cause it to flow over. And that will cut. Now just be careful when you do it because it can spray sometimes. After that point in time, whenever you kosher, after you finish the koshering process, you rinse it with cold water. and then you dry it. You have to dry it. But in this situation over here, you want to kosher your pot to use. If you're not using a paste of the kapat, so that's what you would do. Then you would pour out the hot water, not into the sink that you want to kosher, which is with hot water, right? You pour out your hot water somewhere else. If you have any weeds in your driveway, it's a great weed killer. Hot water onto your weeds.
Kills the ants also.
So it's a good etza, and it's basically non toxic. So you're not damaging the environment. In general, if you want to drain your macaroni, when you want to drain it outside, also it's a very good idea how to get rid of it. Repurposing, I think, is the phrase, the catchword nowadays. Run cold water over it, and then you get ready to now reheat it, cool it, reheat it with water to use for your kashering process. If you have a large paste of the kapat which you want to use, that's great. And then what you can do is you can have a large pot being used, a very large pot, and you can use a smaller pot to scoop out to use for kashering. If you do that, if you're going to do that, so we have to be aware of the fact that the water has to be boiling. So sometimes when you immerse the smaller pot into the larger pot, the boiling stops. So you want to hold it in there long enough that it'll start boiling again. So you have a large pot boiling over there, you put your smaller pot in to scoop out, you hold it there for a few seconds, so the water will start boiling again, and then you scoop out with that. And that's going to be what you're going to use to kosher. You want to kosher the bottom of the sink. Make sure that you get every single spot. It should be in a straight motion. Let's say you don't get all of the bottom of the sink in one shot. So there's always going to be runoff from one side of the area which you've koshered to the side which you have not koshered. You have to kosher on a dry surface. So the side that you've koshered, that's fine. The side which you haven't koshered, the water has run off as opposed to direct hit. You want to kosher by a direct hit on an area that you're planning to kosher. So if the water runs off to the side, that's not koshering. It doesn't create a problem because it's been 24 hours without heat, so it's fine. But you want to dry that before you pour a second time onto the other side. So you finish your emptying your pot, you go back to the larger pot, you scoop up again, let it reboil again, pull it out. Meanwhile, you've already dried this side, and then you do it again on the second side. Then you pour cold water on that area. Okay, then you do the sides. Now the sides also, really, there should be a direct hit. It's not enough to pour on the top and have the water run down the side. You should be going down the side of the sink, pouring water directly onto the sides. There are some people which, when they do the bottom of the sink, not the side to do the bottom of the sink, add what's called Evan Maluban. I'm not going to get involved in that. This process is sufficient. And again, on the side, you have the same issue that you want the area that you're koshering has to be dry. Yes?
Why are we doing bottom first?
Why are we doing bottom first?
It has to be dry.
I'd rather not get involved in an explanation. It's a halachic calculation, which the Sefer Madani Shmuel, which points it out, and I think it makes sense. Okay. You want to know if other years you've done the other direction, is it okay? Yes, it's okay. It's not going to be ma'akev b'di'evet. You should remember to do the lip of the sink, which goes over onto the counters. If you have granite counters, would you plan to kosher your counters? It would make sense to kosher your counters first before you do the lip, because it's going to run off onto the sides. For the faucets, you're now everything else is kosher. It's running fine. The faucet, you turn the faucet on with hot water. Okay, so this way you have it's okay because it's 24 hours. That hot water is not going to be a problem. And then you pour hot water on the outside of the faucet also. If the faucet is, assuming the faucet is metal, the faucet is plastic. We pass and we don't kosher plastic for Pesach. And so that's a real headache. If you have a plastic, you can ping your finger against it, and if it sounds like metal, it's metal. If it sounds like plastic, it's plastic. It's a different sound. If it's a plastic faucet, it's a problem. It's not a real problem because the maaser, that which we kasher the faucet, is the ravka, the milsa. We don't know for sure that there's anything there which really made it a problem. If you do have that situation, it's worthwhile touching base with a rav. What should you do? The knob should be cleaned, and it is worthwhile. There's probably nothing. There's no issue on the knobs of anything which has been absorbed into the knobs. The chances are very minimal. But once you're doing that already, you can do iri on the knobs also. Let's say you have an instant hot on your sink, instant hot water. So it gives out this water at 190 degrees, whatever the temperature is, etc. Can you kosher your instant hot for Pesach? So the answer is yes. Mikra din, a person could kosher their instant hot for Pesach. A person will wait 24 hours without using it for anything which is hot. You clean it well, and you do iri on it. Because the case there was, at some point in time, there was some type of steam, or you put something which was chum and stick beneath it, and there was some type of steam which came up on top of it. By pouring on it, you accomplish the removing of that type of a bli of chametz, that absorption of chametz. I do want to point out at the bottom of the instant hot, it's worthwhile to clean out well in case there's any residue which is there. Residue which is actually there doesn't help the kasher. You have to actually remove that. So when you say clean it well, make sure that the place where the dispenser is, where the water is dispensed from, should be clean. Similarly, if a person has on the same vein, somebody asked me a question, they have a urn which they only use for coffee. They don't do anything else with it. A electric urn which stands separately, but all they ever do, they put under it is coffee. They don't put any oatmeal, they don't put anything else under it, etc. Can they use it for Pesach? So the answer is mikra din, yes. The only issue which you have, you keep it on a counter which is, there's splatters, etc. You don't know what else is being splattered there, etc. So I wouldn't necessarily advise it, but a person would know that they keep it in such a way where it's not being used anything else, mikra din would be, you'd be allowed to use it for Pesach. You could also kasher it. Kashering something which is, it's electric, is a little bit scary, because you need to kasher it inside and out. So, yes?
My question is, though, you're using a chumitz, you might be using a chumitz kettle, to pour when you want to put more water in each time. You're using a chumitz...
Okay, I guess you're going to be putting hot water into the urn.
Yeah, you're using cold water from the sink usually and pouring it to get more in there each week.
Mm-hmm. So maybe there's some chomets which something is not clean. I hear, that's a possibility, I hear. Okay, that's a good point. Okay, let's say you have a sink which is not metal, or the sink which is not stone. So the first thing is, if you ask your husband to buy you a present, a new sink which is metal, and it makes life much much easier. So you have an enameled sink, or porcelain, or china, or any of those type of things, or even if you have a granite sink, but it's been, there's a sealant which is plastic. The sealants are a problem, so you'd want to wait 24 hours. You want to clean it well. And it is, some suggest that it still could either do a process of kashering, but mikra, then you don't need to do it, just to clean it well, and then cover all of the whole surface with contact paper, or with something, with some type of an insert, so it's not, you're not having direct contact between your items that you're washing and the sink. And then you should have racks. So this way, you're never going to have a direct that your pot, your Pesach pot or utensil, plate, whatever it is sitting directly on the bottom of the sink. Okay, dishwashers should not be kosher for Pesach. That's there's too many different areas inside of the dishwasher where things can gather that are possibilities that koshering only works for. Flavors which have been absorbed into the walls of the utensil, they do not work for anything which is actually there. So that any type of crumbs, any type of chametz which is sitting and which exists, the actual substance which is there, so that's going to be a problem. And that gets inside of the jets and the grit, etc. So that's a problem with koshering dishwashers.
Can you go back to the sink for a second?
Yes.
The, on a self-rimming sink, so it has a lip that comes over and sits on the countertop. There's like a little band around it, so there's metal and then a seam, and then it comes on the countertop. Does that seam have to be covered, or where metal meets metal? It's not one piece.
But it's metal to metal.
Yes.
But if it's metal to metal, you can kasher your countertop also.
The countertop is formica. The sink itself, there's the body of the sink, and then where it sits over on top of the countertop like this, there's a little band. So there's like sink and band and then countertop. And so there's a seam between the body of the sink and that little band around the lip of the sink. So the question is, do I need to cover that with tape, or can I, like, if I've scrubbed it well enough when I kosher the sink, is that sufficient?
I would probably cover it just because, you know, cleaning that well is probably going to be very hard. You know, you don't know what's in there, so if there's any chametz in there, that could be a problem.
Okay.
Okay, countertops. So, in a type of a industrial type of situation where the countertop is metal many times, so that's kosherable. If the countertop is granite or marble without a sealant, it's kosherable. If it's wood without a sealant, it's also kosherable. So a person would have a butcher, what they call a butcher block, right? But a lot of times there's some type of shellac or some type of sealant, something on top, and so that renders it not kosherable. Assuming that we don't have it, if it's kosherable, so you would do iri on the area, and like we said before, and then you rinse it off with cold water afterwards. If the it's formica, it's silestone, so you clean it, and you should cover it with something which is waterproof. So therefore, if you were to put, there's no way that there's any liquid which is beneath it would connect with any liquid which is above it. This would allow our concern of transfer of flavor from anything which might be absorbed in the countertop into your pot, whatever it is, that requires a medium of a liquid to transfer flavor. So there's no liquid because it's dry. And even if there's wetness on the bottom of your pot, it's a waterproof surface. So it can't get through to go what's beneath it. So one suggested is foil. You know, the foil companies make a lot of money on Jews for Pesach. But it should be something which is not going to tear. You don't want a situation where in the middle of Pesach you know that there's a tear over there, and now possibly liquid had went underneath that, inside that tear, and then there's liquid on both sides, and then you're going to have a flavor going into the foil from the pot, then using the liquid to allow it to go into the countertop, and then vice versa, which is your concern. So you want to show that something which is not going to tear. And then your countertops are good. Okay, the oven.
Sorry, how far on the countertop? Like, even the mist part here should also be covered?
The front part, you mean coming down?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be covered.
It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be counter like this. You don't have to cover under here. Okay, and the walls around it?
The backsplash, you know, I think really, you know, sometimes.
It's only in an oven, right? Are you talking about cut in the wall?
Where the countertop comes up.
Yeah, where the countertop comes up, that's a backsplash.
Where the countertop comes up in the back, right? Mm-hmm. Really, if you can, you know for sure that you're not really putting anything against it, it really shouldn't be a problem.
You mean anything hot? Like, can I, like, put, like, a bag of chips against it, or, like...
You could, you know, as long as it's clean, you know. Okay. Right? But, it's basically functioning the same way as your table is functioning. Mm-hmm. Right? So at that point in time. But if you're going to put anything hot over there, you'd want to have it covered. But your table also we cover because we're going to put something hot there, and because we could, you know, because we want to make sure that it's clean. So it's not any. If you're asking me mikra din, it would be a problem if it's open. The answer will not be a problem. The answer would I suggest covering it. If you cover your tables, you would cover your backsplash also. Okay, let's go to the oven. So there are. If your oven is a self clean oven, so you should be benched. Self-clean ovens are one of the person's brachas to Jewish mothers. So self-clean oven does not need 24 hours to kosher it. You can put it on a self-clean cycle, and your oven is kosher the Pesach. A few things you have to know. Number one is that the door doesn't get the same heat as the rest of the oven. So that would you say that the self-cleaning cycle takes care of the oven, it takes care of the oven, it does not take care of the door. So the door really you should clean. The rest of the oven you do not need to clean, but the door itself you should clean with some type of a, whatever you would use for an oven cleanser. And Rav Moshe suggests even afterwards that a person should cover the door with foil. So if you either make sure you don't put anything on the door. A lot of times people use the door to put a pot down. So you don't want to put something directly, you know, take a pot out and put it down on the door. So you want to have that covered with foil. So it blocks you from looking inside your oven and seeing what's going on inside the oven, but that may be something that's better for your nerves. Or worse, depending. Yeah?
If you have stuff in your oven that drips and you've got, when you self-clean it, it has like a crusty ash at the bottom, so, you don't have to clean that, it's just kosher?
Theoretically it becomes ash and it shouldn't be a problem. There are some places which are concerned about it and they suggest that you should clean it out, and I have mentioned in previous years, I was just listening to my tape on the way back, that you should clean it because of that possibility.
You don't need to scrub it.
The main thing should be pogum. The point is, if there'd be any residue which was there, which would still hadn't been reduced to ash, it would be considered inedible. So your goal isn't cleaning it, your goal is making it pogum.
Is that true also if you're just koshering it between meat and milk with the self-clean cycle?
Is that true?
You don't have to clean it, you can just put the cycle on?
Meeker, then you can just put the cycle on, yeah.
Cool.
Right. Actually, from milkless deflation, it might be even more lenient in that sense. The second issue which you want to be aware of is the gasket. The gasket blocks the heat, so the area around the gasket or behind the gasket, if there's any chometz there, you want to make sure that that's, you know, anything gathered there, you want to remove that. You do not need a full cycle. Usually, it's 3 hours. 1 hour is sufficient. You put it on self clean for an hour. After an hour, you hit the stop button. It takes about whatever long it takes till it's cools off enough that the lock unlocks and you're ready to go. The racks. What about the status of the racks of the oven? So now, if you never use your racks directly for chametz, you're not putting anything directly on the rack. It's always something in a pot, or it's something. Even if you put something in there, you put it on some foil, etc. So the racks are good to go just with this process of self cleaning. If you would ever see yourself putting chametz directly on the racks, or if not, you would do it, but your husband might do it, or your kids might do it. Yeah, I made some toast in the oven. I just put it right on the racks. I said, thank you very much. I love you too. Right? So then you have had chametz directly, something which is being baked directly onto the rack. So if it's ever been used directly, so self-cleaning is sufficient. If it's been used directly on the rack should be cleaned also with some type of an oven cleanser. And the suggestion would be during Pesach to make sure that it's covered, right? So that you can stay away from that, the problem of the racks. But again, assuming that you don't do that, you're good to go with the racks also. Now, Rav Moshe Zatzal held that that's not a problem. He held that self cleaning is considered libun gomer. It's the highest level of koshering. It's purging, and there's no problem. There's no problems at all. The racks. Directly, not directly, doesn't make a difference. So that's what immersion is, that's LL. And some Paiskim, you'll hear some Paiskim will say that, and that definitely is something to rely on. So you're at somebody's house and say, well, that's what I did. You definitely can eat from their, you know, their food is not a problem. Yes?
Could you then just put your pots inside of the oven while it's on self-clean?
Oh, it would kill your pot.
Yeah?
Yes.
No, I've done it that way with...
like a cast iron pot, that would be fine.
Yeah, enamel. I have some enamel cast iron, and the rabbi told me I could put it through a self-cleaning cycle, and it survived. The handle wasn't shiny anymore, but
the racks aren't.
Is that okay?
So it is. So I don't know which rabbi was this. Who was that?
Rabbi Brander in L.A.
Rabbi Brander, okay. So, here's the issue. The issue is, the answer is yes and no. why is the answer yes and no? The answer is yes, it should work. However, the Gemara comes along and says that people are, they appreciate the value of their pots. We're afraid they're not going to do it properly. And because we're afraid, we didn't allow you to do it because we're afraid you're not going to do it properly.
This was a very, very expensive pot my husband had accidentally traded up. So this was a Sholem Bias
day, yeah. Okay. So Sholem Bias is a different ballgame. Right? Okay. Teflon, you cannot kosher Teflon for Pesach. So if it's anything which is Teflon coated, forget about it. That's number one. If it's something other than that, theoretically, if you have a type of pot, which is a cast iron pot, which it wouldn't make a difference, you could theoretically put it in, it will take away the shine. Now, taking that thought, if you have a gas range top, or cooktop, whatever you call that. Still haven't figured it out after all these years. So the grates should be koshered. You can put the grates in to the oven while you do the self-clean cycle, and that will kosher your grates.
You don't have to clean them before? Like really?
No, just go for it.
You also have to make sure, though, if they have rubber feet, that could be bad.
If they do have rubber feet, that would be a problem. Yes.
If the racks had chametz directly on them, then they preferably should be covered, as in, like, the things that go on them should...
Not while you're self-cleaning them.
During Pesach, they should be covered with tinfoil. Like,
yeah, correct.
Is it... Has anyone done this? Like, put tinfoil, like, on the door of an oven or whatever? It doesn't, burn up over...
You just put it over.
Yeah?
Yeah. We do it every week. Every year.
Does it have to be covered top of that? Just on top, right?
Just on top.
I was wondering, because
those tinfoils sometimes burn up. Like,
you use a heavy duty. You use a heavy duty.
Right.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about if you don't have a self-clean oven.
Yeah, that's next. Okay. Now, that's if you have a self-clean oven. If you have a regular oven, which is not self-clean, so you need an oven cleanser, some type of an oven cleanser, the easy off, something like that, and clean out your oven. There's any stubborn spots, so you get those specific spots, you should try a second time. After that, forget about it. You don't need more than two times. If you still see something after two times, we assume that it's pogum. There's no issues. Set it on the highest setting that you can for 1 hour. The rack should be covered. During Pesach, the rack should be covered because the racks, we do have an issue. One thing I want to point out is if you have a broiler in your oven, somebody has a broiler in their oven, the broiler, if it's ever been used with anything which is actually chometz, you made a hamburger mixture with some, which had some breadcrumbs in it, or something, some flour in it, something like that. That to kosher that, you would need a blowtorch. I don't recommend doing that on your own. I would not. So that, however, when you do kosher, since the fire is between the broiler and your oven, there's a fire in between, the fact that you cannot kosher your broiler does not prevent you from koshering the oven.
You shouldn't be using broiler.
So I would not use a broiler in Pesach.
Even in a self-clean oven or just on
the oven? Even in a self-clean. If it was used with chametz.
You put the thing from the top inside when you're, koshering it for the hour, whatever. When you the grates. Can you put the grates inside the oven?
The grates from
the top of the stove.
The range top. If it's not a self clean oven.
That's correct.
No, I mean you could, but it won't. It's that is not sufficient.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get the second option of how to kosher them. Okay. Some people have an oven has a warming drawer. So warming drawer, it's also a problem. It's not really, it should not be used for Pesach. It does not get the temperature which it's kosher, makes itself kosherable. So you don't want to go in there and try and do it any other way. So I would not recommend using your broiler. Or now theoretically, if you have a new broiler pan, a totally new brand new broiler pan, you take out the old one and you put a different one in. You could do that, but I would just recommend staying away from that. If you have a continuous clean oven, usually ovens are really not recommended in halacha. It's made out of a porous clay type of material, which is not kosherable. So that creates a lot of headaches. If you do have one, ask your local Orthodox rabbi how to deal with that. It might be me, but we're not going to discuss it right now.
You said this is continuous clean oven.
A continuous clean oven, yeah. So, Yeah.
You mentioned that warming part of the oven or warming tray is right. Not recommended. Do you mean that it's not acceptable, right? If I go to somebody's house and they've used a warming tray that they've used during the year, that's not acceptable.
You want to know what would the halacha be if somebody did use that? Assuming that they attempted to kosher it.
Like they probably scrubbed it with Easy Off or whatever.
I probably wouldn't tell you that it's also been the video, but
okay.
I would say it's strongly recommended not to do it. That would be the language. Right? That's what the kosher organizations use when they, you know, don't recommend a certain hechsher, but they don't want to say that because they don't want to be sued for libel. It's recommended strongly not to use it. Right? Okay. The cooktop, or the range, whatever you want to call it. So if it's electric, so the electric, the burners, you set them to their highest setting until they glow. You can tell when it's glowing, if it's in a darker room, you can tell it gets glowing pretty quickly. If there's anything which you think there, which is there, which is ban, you know, till the brick gets burned off, and you are good to go for the burner. For the drip pan, which is below it, you should clean that out. There shouldn't be anything which is there, and you should cover it. For the whole top comes off, and there's that space in between, etc. Chometz doesn't have legs, and it doesn't fly, and it shouldn't be flying from there into your pots. So the only issue you'd want to be aware of there is like cleaning for the rest of the house. You know, you don't have comments in your bedroom drawers. You don't have comments in there either. But you're not talking about this issue of any type of absorption. It should be cleaned out, vacuumed out, whatever it is, cleaned out well, and that's it. So, but the drip pan itself should be cleaned and covered. The knobs should be cleaned well. You've touched them with comments like your hands, etc. You don't want to be touching them during Pesach. If you want to cover them, it would also make sense. The area in between the burners, hot things have been put there. Sometimes hot chometz has fallen there. So if you want to put your, you want to be able to use that area in between, you want to put two layers of foil. So again, if you have two layers of foil, with heavy duty foil, so then there's no liquid which would possibly be caught beneath it. Even if there's something in the bottom and something on top, but there's still a layer in between with no liquid. So that's if it's electric.
Is that true, Rabbi? If it's the same material as your sink. It's a metal.
You want to know? Can you?
I have mine is stainless steel. Thank you so much. I just lost the words. Stainless steel.
You could theoretically the you could kosher it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that, you know, it would probably take away the shine, etc. So
shine's long gone.
Long gone. Okay. we'll talk about possibly how to kosher it in a second. So that's if you have electric. If you have gas, so you need to kosher the grates, because the grates, the pot's sitting directly on the grates. So one simple answer is you get no grates for Pesach, and that, you know, that is definitely doable. Self-cleaning oven is the second option. If you have you're not planning to buy new ones and you don't have a self-cleaning oven, so the grates have to be kosher. The way you kosher the grates is by concentrating the heat of the gas burner itself onto the grates. So you make a tent of heavy-duty foil, put it over it, and then you turn the grate on, the burner on, and it concentrates the heat over the grate and it koshers the grate. Do not do all four burners at one time. It's a great expediency. Get all four done. If the heat that it creates is so true, it's going to melt anything plastic which is nearby. And if that metal is touching your knob will melt. It can, etc. So do one at a time, two at a time at the most. Don't do all four at one time. It's not a halachic issue. Luckily, you can do all four at one time, but practically, I would not advise you to do all four at one time. You could do that. I could do the same thing by making a tent which would go over the area in the middle. And that would kosher the area in the middle. So you make a tent on the two sides.
Right,
that's how you would be able to do it to kosher the area in the middle. Because the potential for the... you're not cooking anything directly there. The only question is maybe something fell directly there, which I would say is like a clearation. It wouldn't be any worse than that.
How do you do the tent? Like foil or something, you mean?
Heavy-duty foil. Foil.
So let's say you do two burners at a time. So you turn on two burners, and so you're saying those
you make it like a, you know, let's say the two and the one behind the other. So you make a tent which goes like this over the two of them. Turn it on, and the heat, well, that'll keep the heat in, and it'll kasher the burner, kasher the grates.
I thought you meant the stainless steel that's in between.
Oh, the stainless steel in between. I was thinking right now, the truth is, stainless steel in between, really, I have an easier option for that. You could do eerie.
Yeah.
You could do eerie on that. The only question you would have for the stainless steel in between with the eerie issue is...
if the water drips down into the drip pans and gets to the electric.
Yes. Right. So you know, that would be something that you wouldn't want to do.
Right.
Put
a towel. I mean, you can. There's a way to work around it, but that would be an issue.
Right.
Because every year I debate which way I'm doing it.
Okay. But you could do eerie over there, and that really would be sufficient.
But there's electrical stuff underneath.
Yeah, so I'm saying. So what you do, what I do is I put, after I clean that, I put a towel down there. So when I pour the water, it doesn't get to where my electric stuff is. Depends how your stovetop is laid out, too. But yes.
I'm not an electrician, so I wouldn't get this devolved in what, I don't know whether it's safe or not safe. You have to ask my wife for that, those type of questions.
Does the tent thing work for kashering that stainless
steel? I think it would. I think it would probably create enough heat to, it would throw enough heat to be considered like a Liban Kal. A Liban Kal works in place of Hagola. I'm not sure how long it would have to do to get to that temperature. Liban Kal is defined in Halacha. Gets to the point of temperature that you would have instantaneous combustion, which is 451 degrees. Right. Remember from Fahrenheit 451. We all know our book, right? Right. That's the temperature that paper catches on fire on its own. So you should be able to get that temperature. But between those the burners going, I'm not sure how long it would be, but you could do that. Really. So that's how you do the grates. And again, the rest of it, if it's enamel or something like that, you can't kosher it. So you would want to double layer foil and etc. Okay. One thing I want to point out: if you are covering your you got into this foil thing, this new look, the foil look, and you're covering your range top, and it comes with that. If your range top is separate from your oven, so fine. But if it's not, it's the top of the oven. There's a vent where the heat of the oven is coming out. You do not cover that vent. This is just a practical issue because that would not allow the heat to come out, and that's not safe. I also want to point out that does create potentially a halachic concern. Let's say I'm making some type of a meat stew inside of the oven, and there's this moisture coming up, etc., which is fleishika steam, and I'm cooking a pot of in my milchika pot in the back burner right next to where this vent is of a milchika pot. This hot fleishika steam is coming directly out onto my hot steam onto my hot milchika pot means treif, right? So you don't want to do that. So you should be aware of where your vent is, and if you know you use your milk and good thing, you know, if that's a situation where something is coming, you're cooking something inside the oven, be aware of what you're doing on top of the front of the oven. If you have a glass ranged, you have one of these glass or you know Corning or the with the burners which are concealed. Yes.
If it's in the front, it shouldn't be a problem.
Yes.
How long do we keep the burners on for with the tent?
Not too long.
A few minutes?
5-10 minutes, yeah. So the burner itself, which is usually, some of them, what they have, it's not hidden, but it's sealed burner with a glass top. So that the burner itself gets red hot. And the area on the glass, which is above it, also gets to the heat, which would kosher that. So directly above the burner can be kosher. The question is the area around it doesn't get that same level of heat.
Is it electric or gas? I
think usually it's electric. I can't imagine it would be safe to be gas. Wouldn't be safe to be gas. So if you have one of those, the area in between is really your headache. What's the headache? The headache is really you should cover it, but the manufacturer recommends not to because by covering it, it'll keep the heat and crack the glass. So it'll be kosher, but it'll be cracked. So if you don't want to crack your glass, which is in between, so the idea would be to get some type of a trivet or something like that, so you shouldn't be putting anything on there. It's not really kosher. Because some type of a trivet, which would raise any pot that you have that should not be touching that glass surface. Because then you'd have a direct contact between your pot and the glass surface, and yet if there's any spill, you have chametz absorption going into your pot, and that would be a problem. So it's one suggestion which some of the poskim say, I don't know exactly where you get them, is a metal shaped donut, or donut shaped metal, piece of metal, which would act as go around the rim, and then you could just put your pot on top of that. You'd have to adjust your cooking time, obviously, because it's not sitting directly on the burner. There's now a gap, the height of that donut, whatever that would be. But so that's a little bit of an issue how to deal with that. If you have an oven hood, so over your range top, you have this hood, which exhaust fan, etc. So it should be cleaned. It should be free of any food residue. Now, in general, a hood has the following issue. If you're using, there's a nice size gap between your pot, the top of your pot, and the hood, you're good to go. There's no problems. Any steam which would rise up from the pot will dissipate out. It's not gathering over there and condensing over there and falling back into your pot. Where the concern is, if you're ever cooking a very large pot, so there's a very small gap between the top of your pot and your hood, you have a situation where you have steam going up onto the hood, condensing, and then falling back into the pot. Well, that happens once with milchigs and once with fleishigs, you would have a headache. If it were to happen with chametz and then with Pesach, you'd have a headache. So you're not using any large pots, and there's a nice size gap. So Rainer told me a while back, he's not concerned. If it's not, there's a nice size gap between the pot and the hood, you're fine. Another example they have of this issue is some of the more modern kitchens. You have an island in the middle where you do some cooking, and there's this rack where you can hang your utensils. So you have your pot producing steam, and you have this your ladle hanging there. So there's this beautiful milchige vishishwa that you're making with this your fleishige. Fleishige ladle, that's not necessarily very good for your ladle. What about the cabinets over the cooktop? This issue of the steam. So the issue is not going to be a problem in the sense that it's going to affect anything down below. Everything down below, the steam goes up, it doesn't come back down. Do you have to worry about the steam going into your cabinet, etc.? So Rainer told me he's not worried about that. Again, usually the gap is large enough that the steam is going to billow outwards, etc. It's not really going to be, even if you get something on a really rolling boil, etc., it'll dissipate by the time it gets there. If it's not cold, excuse me, if it's not hot, it's cold, it doesn't cause any absorption. If you're noticing, there's some type of condensation or some type of layer of grime or something growing on your plates that you keep up there, you should probably be aware of the fact that something's happening. We can't stick our heads in the sand, even though it's tempting sometimes. But assuming that you're not seeing that, you're not mechuyav dechasher, that's not the possibility. That's for the hoods. Person has a grill, so they want to kasher. They want to use to kasher out their grill to use for Pesach. So the grill, if there was, since you're putting things directly on the grill, so that requires Liban Gomer. Even gummer means blowtorch. Again, I would not recommend that. So the best thing to do for that is really to get, if you want to do it for Pesach, is to get new grates. The grill, the place you're putting the meat, you gotta get a separate grates to use there for Pesach. That being said, then you would want to kosher the rest of it. So the rest of it you would kosher by turning it on its setting and closing it out. You have to clean it out well, and you're kosher like you're koshering an oven. Now, interesting. Ramesh has a suggestion for both of these situations. He would suggest in that situation putting a pan, a pot, something there with water in it, and letting it steam out also at the same time. Ramesh suggests that for your non self cleaning oven, he suggests that idea also. The minigar element seems not like immersion when it comes to that. I think in the case of the grill, it would make sense to do that. Okay, microwaves. So I don't recommend kashering a microwave for Pesach. There is what to talk about whether it's microwaves in general are kasherable. Ramosha Zatzal held they were. Not everybody agrees with him in regards to that. The way you would kasher them is you not use them for 24 hours. Make sure that everything is clean, the walls, the floor, etc. Now, the area where the fan is, there's some type of grating over where the fan is, etc. It's a very closed area inside of a microwave, so any type of steam, etc., will go into there, and it will, you know, any type of, there's residue, there's something inside of there. So that's not a question of absorption, that's a question that there might be residue in there. So you want to make that, you want to render that residue inedible before you kasher your, so you want to spray something in there, some type of a I don't know what is recommended in regards to you putting in microwaves, we consider recommended, but you would put some type of something in there which would render the food in there inedible. In general, it's not something which you can unscrew and clean out well, because they don't recommend that because of the dangers of the radiation, etc. So that's one of the areas which you of concern. Can you really do that? It's one question. Second question is, you can only kasher it if it's a metal or a glass type of a wall. If it's some type of they use some types of plastic sometimes in there, etc. We don't kasher plastic for Pesach. The third question, which you want to know, is, so we've cleaned it well. Now the question is, there any absorption into the walls? It only absorbs with heat. So the walls have to get hot to be able to absorb. The floor gets hot because the heat of the food item, whatever is sitting there, will heat the floor. So the recommended for the floor really is, if you can either get a different bottom, you know, for Pesach, or take that out and put a styrofoam board for this and accomplish the same thing for Pesach. Regards to the walls, so Rav Heinemann suggests testing it to see if it gets hot. The way you would do it is you put a bowl of water in there, put an high setting, let it go for a few minutes, and then touch the sides of the walls. So if the walls don't get hot, you don't have to kasher your microwave. If the walls do get hot, you kasher your microwave, according to Moshe, because the kashering process is putting in something at a high setting and letting it boil out and koshering it through the steam process, because that's how it absorbs. It absorbs through steam, so you're taking it out through steam. That's where people argue, because in halacha, generally, you can't, you cannot kosher with steam. But Rav Moshe held for microwaves, the only absorption is only steam, you can kosher it with steam, and that's the chiddush Rav Moshe held on microwaves. Not everybody agrees to that. That's why, that's where the question comes. Okay, regards to the rest of the kitchen. So, in general, we have to be aware that when we're cleaning for Pesach or we're preparing for Pesach, there are always two issues that you want to be aware of. There's the cleaning for the purpose of the mitzvah of not having chametz in your possession on Pesach. That applies to your bedrooms, assuming that you have little children. So, little children take... assuming that you have mice or little children, so there's crumbs or little crackers, whatever, Cheerios being found in every cracker crevice of your home. If assuming that your children are older, etc., so then, you know, unless you have snacks in bed, there's no reason to believe that you have chametz in your bedroom drawers. I don't know. I mean, maybe some people stash chametz in their bedroom drawers to hide from their husbands. Their husbands should be on a diet. But assuming that you're not doing that or hiding it for yourself, cheating your diet, okay, but that's one issue. You have to be aware. So for that issue, anything less than the size of a Cheerio is irrelevant. If it's, you know, the real cleaning for Pesach, in general, cleaning for Pesach, cleaning your house for Pesach, little crumbs are not significant. The only place we consider them significant is if you have a lot of them together, which you could bring them together and become the mouth of a kazayas. That would be a concern. So once you've cleaned it well enough that there's not a kazayas worth of crumbs in your room, and there's no Cheerios in your room, go to the next room. That's, you know, that's for cleaning for Pesach. So that applies to your kitchen table also. You know, if you have, you know, you use it open during the year, and there's, you know, in between the leaves, there's encrusted chametz, so that's a problem over there. The problem is only if it's the size of a kazayas, or it can become a kazayas by bringing the pieces together. So you clean it out, and that's it. You're happy to go. The next issue is, since it's in the kitchen, and there's potentially crumbs are a problem if they're in your Pesach food. Crumbs are not a problem if they're in your floor of your bedroom. Crumbs are a problem if they're in part, you go, get into your Pesach food. So there you want it to be. So the answer for that is you clean it. There shouldn't be any problems of owning chametz, and cover it with a waterproof covering, and shalom al Yisrael. Right, that's it. That you're not worried about getting chametz getting into your food. So that applies to your tables. Now, if you have a metal table or a glass table, or even a wood table which is not sealed, you can kosher it. You know, you want to kosher your table. You know, you have a nice glass table. You boil up a kettle of water and you pour it over it, and then you just wash it off with cold water afterwards, and you can use it open. Because at most, again, it's clean. It's assuming that it's clean, it hasn't used anything hot in 24 hours. At most, there's an absorption which will come out through eerie, because we're not putting anything in there which is going to be more significant than eerie cremation. So you can do that. Obviously, if it's plastic or formica top, even if it's something which is heat resistant, we don't kosher plastic for Pesach. So you just wash it well and cover it with a waterproof covering. Your chairs, again, so we have the issue of, you know, hopefully there's not crumbs in there, etc. But you want to make sure that there's nothing which is there that should get mixed into your food. Some people are mocked, but if food falls onto the floor, maybe falls onto a chair, they don't eat it. High chairs. So you have a situation where the child is actually eating from the high chair. So you want to really make sure that you can clean it well, if that such a thing exists, is cleaning a high chair well. But the best thing would be to cover it with some contact paper, and you know, clean it well and cover it with contact paper, and then the child could eat in it. Person has braces, bite plates, dentures, those type of things. Person should clean them out well, obviously, after the last time they have chomets. There are some places who suggest that for 24 hours before Pesach not to have any chomets. So, hot chomets. Not to have any hot chomets. So that would take care of any potential absorption there might be in that. Finger rings. So if you're, you know, many people wear the rings while they're working in the kitchen, etc. So you want to clean them out well, and if you want to wear them in Pesach, you want to clean them out well. I would recommend in that situation, while you are working with your Pesach food, probably to remove them. You know, even if you clean them out well, you don't know what's in. You don't know what chametz lurks inside the hearts of your rings. To paraphrase an old radio show, I would recommend one more thing. Just in regards, you know, we're so mocked, but you know, not getting anything near our Pesach food, etc. One thing that I've noticed, people do not seem to be concerned about. It's interesting to me. Is people come home and they take their wallet, which they every day of the year they take home and put their wallet on the table, put their keys on the table, they put their glasses on the table, they put their money on the table. They come and pay, and they take that same pair of glasses and the same keys and the same wallet, and they stick it on the table without any clean. They never cleaned your wallet before Pesach, right? Maybe there are crumbs in there, you know, or your key ring. You know, who knows what your kid played with your key ring and stuck Play-Doh in the whole thing, right? Then you put it on your kitchen table during the middle of Pesach. It wouldn't make sense to me. That person would want to do that. So something you can see, you know, you wash it out, you know it's clean. You know it's clean. Hopefully our money is clean money. But you know, anyway, you know, putting money which has been through thousands of hands on your table always sometimes gets me a little bit uncomfortable. But for Pesach, for sure, that's something which I find that interesting. The cabinets in the kitchen, again, the cabinets that you're going to be, even the cabinets you're going to be using for, the cabinets you're not using, the chametz cabinets, so your goal is Cheerios. You're looking for Cheerios. Or crumbs which add to a kazayas, so that doesn't take too much to figure that out, clean that out, and tape them shut. The cabinets you're using for Pesach, so you want to have them. There shouldn't be anything which is any crumbs which are there which you get onto your Pesach food, etc. So for that, really, even you know, we have this Jewish custom of lining them. That's why we line them. But really, if you cleaned it out well, or you're just storing cans there, so it's not really such an issue. Well, you know, it's not getting in, it's not climbing up through the can into your food. Yeah.
So what about like a phone or a cell phone that probably...
I'm going to get to the phones. Now, telephones, I hold a chametz gomer, right? And a person works in the kitchen. The phone which is used in the kitchen while you're making your kokosh cake and while you're making your challah, you know, and you're with your chametz, your floury, doughy hands, you're holding the phone, etc. It is something to be concerned about. You can clean out a phone well. Your husband can buy you a new phone for Yom Tov. A cell phone, I think, is nowadays works on the reciprocated Bluetooth. The reciprocated Bluetooth, this way you're not really holding your phone while you're working in the kitchen. You're wearing your Bluetooth. Right? That's why the reciprocated Bluetooth. You don't know why the reciprocated... This is why the reciprocated Bluetooth. So now it's not a problem for Pesach anymore. Yeah, assuming
that
you have...
Does this mean that we shouldn't have our phones in the kitchen on Pesach, or that they need to be cleaned? Because I use my phone as a cookbook sometimes, too.
My suggestion is you try and clean them, and then I'm much more comfortable putting down a towel and then putting them on that surface instead of putting them directly on your Pesachic surfaces. So if there's any crumbs, whatever it is, it's going to fall onto that towel. Take the towel away afterwards, whether it's a paper towel, whatever it is. In this way, it's not directly on any Pesachic surface. Yeah.
Does the microphone in the cell phone also have to be cleaned out? Like on a regular handset, you could unscrew it, but like on your cell, I wouldn't even know where to start.
I wouldn't recommend you start it either. Okay, garbage cans. Excuse me, garbage cans. Most of them have I don't think they use the regular garbage can, which you use the whole year. It's been full of chametz, has been touched by chametz, etc. Meekers, and theoretically a person could clean out their garbage can and leave it there. I wouldn't recommend it. Maybe people are not living in apartments, living in homes. So this year, living in Camp Mills, so the pickup is on Monday. Right, so your garbage can is out there. It's your garbage can and has chametz in it. So if they pick up the service amount of chametz, do you have any chametz in that garbage can? So the service amount of the chametz is whatever time it is. I think it's 11:40. I think it's this month, something like that. Something like exact number. So you don't want any chametz in your possession after 11:40. So if you're one of the people that they pick you up at your garbage at 9 o'clock in the morning, again, it's also bench design. Bench sign. You should be. But the problem is, if they pick you up your garbage at 11:52, 11:43, you're down the block. Please come. So you can't have chametz in your possession. So that's your garbage can. So you could put it off of your property in the street, and be mafka the garbage can. And this way, the outside garbage cans. Now the outside garbage cans also have chametz in them. They really should be cleaned out. This is not a eating issue. This is the other issue of you don't want chametz in your possession. So you shouldn't have chametz in your bedrooms. You shouldn't have chametz in your garbage cans. Right, so you just take a hose, spray them down, clean them out. You don't have to get major inside of them, but you can see how clean they are, or not clean they are. Spray it out rinse it out, and that's it. But if you have a bag, alternatively, the other way is take the bags out of the garbage can, leave your garbage can where it's supposed to be, put the bags on the curb. So the garbage, I like you very much, but you don't have any chametz in your possession this way. If your garbage pickup is on Tuesday, find a friend in Kent Mill who has garbage pickup on Monday, and that's probably the best answer for that. You probably don't want to leave it overnight because little critters, etc., are going to get into those bags. Okay, I covered everything I want to cover. Yes. Yeah.
Is there a psak about shaking your crumbs into your backyard? That's what you find
Cheerios
or something like that, because your backyard is technically your property. So then,
you're talking about on Pesach, talking about for Pesach.
Like when you're cleaning for Pesach, if you just shake things out in the backyard.
100% mutter.
Yeah.
There's enough there's enough critters in our neighborhoods between the birds and the deer to eat any Cheerios which we put out there.
So even on your deck, do you have to clean your deck?
Even on your deck, the loch is an example of a courtyard. So I don't think the deck is any worse than a courtyard. It says you can put out a place where animals will get to it, so you can assume that they'll eat it. Yeah.
To all the other surfaces in the house, like the dressers and, surfaces in the house, desks, can I take a paper cup of water and put it down on a desk? It's cold?
Yeah.
Okay, so mm-hmm. surfaces don't have to be covered unless they're going to be used for hot. Is that
really? Or that you use for hot, or you know, again, I wouldn't say that in your kitchen table, which you know, you'd have it open and using it for cold, even though it really makes it be mutter because it's totally clean. But you know, we do have the chumras for Pesach. There is a interesting Mishnah Berurah. Quotes, I think, from the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says, our babies were very frum about Pesach. Very frum about Pesach. He says, some people would be inclined to laugh about some of the menhagim that were so mocking about Pesach. He says, being some Yerushalmi, you should not laugh about any menhagim about Pesach, that it represents the love of Klai, so for mitzvahs, and we shouldn't laugh about them. So it is an era where there is something called Chumra de Pischa. We're very mocking around Pesach because the Isser of Chometz is very significant. That being said, an area which generally I don't believe there's any chometz being there any given time to put that cup down. I don't think it's a problem. An area which you're normally using for chometz, I wouldn't recommend it.
But if somebody then came and put a hot paper cup of tea, then I shouldn't like up on a dresser upstairs. Then I shouldn't drink the tea. This has become a big.
I don't think that it would become us. Or again, there's no reason to believe that there's any you know if you. I'm assuming that your dresser surface is clean, so there's nothing there which we're aware of, and I don't think there's any absorption you have to worry about.
So the issue is if it's really used for food, obviously if it's just been cleaned for Pesach, the whole house cleaned for Pesach,
right?
Not covered, and then of course ideally we don't put hot things down, but if somebody does,
it's not going to make it usher.
It doesn't make it usher.
Correct. Yeah.
I just want to clarify for garbage in an apartment building, as long as it's not in your apartment anymore.
You're good. You're good to go. Okay. Right? You're good to go. Just down the chute, whatever they do. I don't know what they do with it.
It's no longer
that's no longer yours.
Just put it on the
chute. Yeah. Right.
So what about the keyboard? Computer keyboards?
Computer keyboards. What I recommend to some people is that to cover it with like a plastic or something like that, you know, so you can still type on it, etc., but you're not really coming. I mean, theoretically, you're not supposed to eat by your keyboard, right? And we know we all don't eat by our keyboards, and we don't, you know, you can bring any chametz near where there's any potential but the reality is, some people, kids, etc., you'll look in and you'll see something there. So you have chametz in there, you know, you have to try and get that out. Again, that's not the eating issue, that's the owning chametz issue. It might be because it's worth the crumbs in there, and that would be a problem. Assuming that you've taken care of that, then you have a question of, you know, I'm using a Pesach, maybe I'm in contact with somewhere there's chametz, so you make a barrier, you should be okay. You put some saran wrap on top of it. So you're not really coming directly in contact with the chametz. Yeah?
Maybe a suggestion is for the computer keyboard is, you know, those cans of air?
Air, right.
Staples. So you hold your keyboard kind of like at an angle, and you spray it so...
All the stuff comes out?
Come out when you spray it, and then you also still have to wipe it, but that at least pretty much gets the stuff inside.
Okay, so that, you know. America has created a way to sell you air and charge you for it.
Right.
So that's it's a great idea, you know. I mean, what could be better than that? Yeah. Yeah. You're talking about food which is not sealed, talking about food which is sealed. So the only issue you want to have some type of hecker on it. In general, we require some type of hecker that you know that it's yours. In general, in a work situation, if you have bread, meat, or something like that, which you'll be putting in there, you want to have some type of hecker that it's yours. So that now, if you find it in the spot where you left it, I'll explain in a second what a hecker is. If you find in the spot where you left it, you're allowed to assume that it's everything is fine. However, that many times that's not the, it's not the, you know, the person next person after you moved your bag over.
So that's not to do that.
So in that situation, if you would the same way when you buy something from the store, they give it in a sealed way. This way, there's no question of any tampering with it. Really, if you're going to be taking food to work and putting it into a communal refrigerator, and there's meat in there or cheese in there, or you need some type of a simen on it to prove that it's yours and it hasn't been tampered with. Taping it around, something like that, which in a way which would the suggestion usually what they do is the mashgichim do is they take a piece of tape and they write an aleph on it over the tape onto the surface. So it's very hard, unless you know Hebrew, to get it back in the right spot. So that's a good hacker.
You know what I would do when I was working? I had a separate lunch bag, and I had a new freezer thing that I kept, and then I kept it in my room, and
right.
I didn't even have to put it into the refrigerator.
Right. So a hacker doesn't mean some type of an indication that it's yours. We're good? Okay. Yeah. Self-cleaning oven with a glass range, okay.
So, the only way to do it is to pour hot boiling water.
The glass range. So...
you mean solid glass cooktop?
Yeah.
So you don't see the burners at all?
Right.
Right. I'm not familiar with exactly how it works, so I really wouldn't want to answer without looking into it more.
Okay. So
at all.
Just do the self-cleaning
works for the top also. I'm confused.
I don't know.
That's why I'm confused. I'm not sure how that works. Mm-hmm. If it does, I don't know. I'd have to really research that, how that works.
Dishwashers, no. But if you're staying by someone who used to use the dishwasher for pizza.
You want to know, would that prohibit the kalim which have been cleaned in there to use them to eat from? Is that the question? I wouldn't say it's asubidia, but... Okay, ladies, thank you. Have a kosher, a freilichen, and kosher.